Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for the show. How are we going saving for our retirement? It's very satisfying to think that when we get there, we're going to have a nice passive income to sustain us in our retirement. How do we get that lump sum? Well, some people put some aside each week, and if they've got time on the side, that's a good way to go. You will get the benefit of compound interest over time. For some people, they turn to real estate. Don't be put off. My guest today believes every woman should be in control of her own destiny by investing in real estate as soon as possible. I have Whitney Nicely as our guest, who started to chase her passions and fine-tune her skills in the real estate market after college. She flipped her first house back in 2009, and last year she flipped 6 houses, while at the same time planning her October wedding. Whitney's real estate portfolio has grown from 0 to an impressive 17 residential houses, 19 apartment units, and 7 chunks of vacant land all across East Tennessee. I'm very pleased to welcome Whitney on the show today, and she's going to share some of her real estate investing secrets with us today. Welcome, Whitney.
Hey, Ann. Thanks for having me.
That's great. Now, you're very passionate about women being in control of their own destiny, and you found a way of doing that through real estate. So can you share with us, why do women need a real estate portfolio?
Well, mostly, let me just tell you that here where I live in the Southeast United States, we are in the Bible Belt, and Proverbs 31 is kind of this big thing that all the women want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And Proverbs 31:16 says that she goes to inspect a field and she buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. But what that says to me, and usually all the Bible studies and everything, they just skip that part. But that tells me that a Proverbs 31 woman, to achieve everything else that she wants to be, needs to be a real estate investor. And that speaks straight to my heart, straight to my brain. And the only way that you're going to create the generational wealth, you know, plant a vineyard and have it produce for years and years and years and decades and decades and decades, is to go ahead and start buying that land. The only way that you're going to have any, you know, independence to go buy extra stuff, buy fluff stuff, buy more real estate, or go on more trips, is to have extra money coming in every month that you don't have to clock in for. I think it is so, so, so important for women to have the real estate portfolio so that they have extra money. It never hurts to have extra money, and it never hurts to have that independent streak that says that you can survive on your own if and when you ended up alone, or, you know, so that most women, we're going to outlive our mates, we're going to outlive our men, and most women aren't trained to handle the portfolio that either he built or was inherited to her. So I am on a mission to make sure that women understand the really simple formulas and the simple strategies to build a big portfolio in their spare time so that they can stay home and be a mom and not feel guilty because they're not bringing any money in, or so that they could, you know, quit their 9-to-5, or so that they could bring their husband home from his 9-to-5. It's just so easy to get some money coming in with real estate, and I think most women want that.
Sounds terrific. So you started in real estate back in 2009, and along the way, you've learned a lot, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I've learned so much. In 2009, I flipped my first house. It was actually one of my parents' rental houses. So I helped them work on it. I helped them flip it. And throughout the process, I fell in love with flipping, but I also fell in love with the house. So it turns out that I moved in. So even though my parents had this house and they put a whole bunch of money into it, they didn't actually make any money on that one because I moved in. But they had a very happy daughter for about 8 years. And, you know, anytime anything broke, I was going to call daddy to come fix it anyway. So he might as well have been my landlord.
That's a lovely story. Your parents as your landlord. And you've moved on since then. So can you tell us about your vacant land that you have?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my mom is a real estate investor, and she has been buying houses for longer than I've been alive. And she's really, you know, my inspiration and my motivation to become an investor. I grew up like most of my students want their kids to grow up. Like I grew up knowing that there was going to be money in the mailbox every month. And I thought everybody had money in the mailbox. I didn't realize that most people had bills in the mailbox. So my mom was buying houses and teaching me that you need to have money coming in extra on the side that you're not working for every single month. So I had that in the back of my brain, but I was also, you know, just graduated college. It was the middle of the recession. I didn't exactly have the ability to save money. I mean, I was in my 20s and money went everywhere except my savings account. So I was really struggling to become this big, bad real estate investor. So I decided to start small. And I love auctions. I remember going to auctions with my mom and dad when I was a kid, and we didn't buy anything at the first real estate auction that I went to, but I got the bug. So I started looking at auctions around where I lived. And there was going to be this little half-acre piece of land, which is not very much, and it was just grass and trees. But the thing that really struck me about it was that it was in the city of Knoxville, so it was in the city limits, and it was zoned industrial, which is like the top of the pyramid. It goes, you know, agricultural land, everything starts as agricultural, and then residential, you know, where most people live. And then you go up to commercial land, which is like where McDonald's and the beauty parlor and, you know, stuff is. And then it goes industrial. And most ladies especially don't ever see industrial land. It's usually landfills or outside storage or, you know, manufacturing plants. It's not somewhere that would just go on a regular basis like the grocery store. So this land was just a little bitty chunk. It was zoned industrial, which is the top of the pyramid. And the current bid on it was like $1,000. So like a little bit of nothing. And I had $1,000. So this was an online only auction, and it was an absolute auction, which means that the land was absolutely going to sell no matter how much it brought. So if it brought $1,000, it was going to sell. If it brought $15,000, it was going to sell for that. Like, no reserve on it. And I think y'all do auctions a little bit different than we do here. So that's the way that we do them. And so I went to bed that night. The auction was going to end at midnight, and I Cinderella at 9. So I put in my final bid at like $1,200 or something. And I woke up the next morning and I had an email that I'd won. And I won that little chunk of land for, I think, right at $1,200, maybe like $1,175 or something. But then you have to pay the auctioneer's fee, and then you have to pay closing costs, and then you've got some title expenses. Like, there's a little bit more involved. So total, all in, all done, it was like $1,500 that I bought this land for. So with this land, I had no idea what I was going to be doing with it, but I was in it for $1,500. I figured that was enough to gamble and roll the dice and see what I could do on it, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing back then. And I bought some other houses. I helped my mom buy some other houses, and I was downtown at the city codes office, and I was kind of flirting with the guys there and, you know, seeing what I could find out about some other pieces. And I just kind of happened to mention that, oh yeah, I bought this little piece of land. Can you see if you can find out anything about it? And they typed it into their computer and they were like, Whitney, you don't just have that land. That driveway is yours too. And I was like, what do you mean? What driveway? And they were like, the driveway that's there on the left side of the property. It used to be a road that the city owned, but because the road was going to nowhere, The city deeded it, and you got the right side of the driveway. Your neighbor got the left side of the driveway. And I was like, hold on. My neighbor uses that like it's their driveway. And the codes guy was like, well, they're driving on part of your land. What are you going to do about it? So the neighbor next to me is a Fortune 500 company, like on the New York Stock Exchange, really big deal. And so I went prancing into their office like, hey, y'all, you're driving on my driveway. You need to pay me rent. And they were like, sure, little real estate girl. You're cute. Go on back about whatever it is you're doing. And I was like, no, for real. You owe me rent. And they're like, yeah, whatever. We'll have it surveyed and we'll call you back in a couple weeks. I said, okay, that's fine. So a couple weeks went by and I didn't think much about it. I had a job at the time. So I was, you know, just doing my job and going on about my day. And they called me one day out of the blue and they're like, yes, Miss Nicely. It turns out we've had the property over on Prosser Road surveyed and it looks like we're driving on part of your driveway. So we'd like to rent that from you. And I said, awesome. I didn't say I told you so. I just said, great. I wanted to say I told you so, but I didn't. So I said, well, how much do you want to rent it? And they said, well, we'll give you $250 a month. Would that be okay with you? And I was like, hold on just a second. So I did a little happy dance and I got back on the phone and I was like, yes, that'll be fine. But I have a couple conditions. It'd taken a couple months at this point for everything to kind of pass by. I said, I want you to pay me for the time that I've owned this land, and I want you to cover any expenses that come up with this driveway. So if it needs gravel, if a tree falls, if it needs to have the snow plowed, I mean, no matter what happens, it's your puppy. You got to take care of it. And the final cherry is I want you to pay my property taxes every year. Huh. And they were like, all right, fine. So we signed the lease agreement like the next day. I had the property for 3 months. So they gave me $750 for the past 3 months. And then they paid that month. So I got $1,000 and they agreed to take care of the gravel and pay the property taxes, which are only like $50 a year. But it was just the principle of it. I wanted to be all in on this property with no real responsibilities and no overhead. I didn't want any continuing maintenance or any kind of anything. And they agreed. So I had $1,000 and after 2 more months, so after like 6 months, I had all my money back. And I've had that property since 2013 now. So every couple months, we get all of our money back.
Nice.
Except the coolest part about this is my family goes to Florida every year for a little family vacation. Even though we're adults and grown people, we still just go like we're kids. And I got there early this year, and when my brother got there, he was like, hey, wait, guess what? And I was like, I don't know. What's going on? He said, I rented Prosser Road. And I was like, what do you mean you rented Prosser Road? I've had that tied up with the neighbors for years. And he was like, no, you rented the driveway. I rented the land. And I was like, what do you mean? That's awesome. He said, yeah, one of his buddies needed some outside storage. He has a dumpster company, and he needed somewhere in the city of Knoxville to plop his dumpsters down when they weren't on a job site. And that's what industrial land is, I mean, made for. And I said, well, how much did you get? He said $500 a month. So now we are collecting $750 a month from two tenants on one little half acre piece of nothing, dirt and trees. And every other month we get our full investment back, except we've already had our investment back for like 3.5 years now. So, I mean, it's just a great, great opportunity to get in. And, you know, that means every other month we get enough money from somebody else that we can go buy another half acre every other month and just create more and more and more money every single month that we don't have to do anything for. It's an amazing situation. I love it.
Wow. It's fascinating. God, you must be so pleased. And so what else do you do? What other types of deals do you do?
Well, I bought some other pieces of land because I was still trying to figure out what was going on. And I'm very much like a trial and error kind of person. Like, I want to see the whole process. Now, that was a home run. Some of the other pieces I've bought haven't been a home run. Like, I bought 3 acres under the lake. Like, no trees, no grass, no nothing, just water, just paying taxes on it, just nothing. I've had some flops also, but after I kind of got my feet wet with land, I started buying houses, and my brother and I partnered. We bought 2 houses, paid cash, and we were just going to rent them for the rest of our life. I had no formula. I had no facts. I didn't have an exit strategy. I didn't even know what that was. We were just buying stuff because we had that much money. And that's how our mom bought houses. She just paid cash and was throwing spaghetti on the wall, basically, just to see what would stick. So we were doing that too. And when I finally figured out that there was some formulas and there were some strategies behind how the other investors in town were buying stuff, I did the calculations and it was going to be like 115 years before Tyler and I started making enough money that we could quit our job or retire. And, you know, I was in my 20s. I didn't have 15 minutes to wait. I certainly couldn't wait 115 years. And that wasn't going to be good generational wealth either. And that was going to be not being able to buy anything else for the rest of my life. So I started to get more education, more digging around, more. I mean, like, I had a real estate license, but they don't teach you how to buy houses with a real estate license. They teach you how to pass the exam to get a license. So all the real stuff that you're going to learn is going to be extracurricular that you don't get credit for, but you build wealth with. So I found out about lease options and I dove headfirst into lease options and I haven't looked back since then. So we went from a bunch of land and two houses that we didn't know what we were doing with to, I think, the next April when it was time to pay our taxes. Somehow or another, my brother ended up talking to the accountant before I did, and he called me like in an absolute panic. He was like, "Whitney, when did you buy 15 houses?" And I was like, "I guess I bought them last year, but I thought I had more than that." And he was like, "Why do we have 15 houses?" And I was like, "You're welcome. We're making money here, man. What do you want from me?" So I got on a roll with lease options. We went from basically nothing and doggy paddling and struggling to, you know, get air to, I won't say smooth sailing, but definitely on top of the water and moving around.
I see. And I think you're going to have to explain it just a little bit more, please, because I'm not sure if we all understand what lease options are.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. So if you own a house and you live in a house and let's say that you're a young person, you just graduated college or university and, you know, you're going to be a real person and get a real job and live on your own and get out of this junky little apartment. So you go out and you buy a little 2-bedroom, 1-bath for a little bit of no money. And then life happens and a couple years later you're married and maybe there's a kid on the way. So you take your good job and your good credit and you go buy a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So you upgrade a little bit. But instead of selling the first one, you just start renting it out to your buddies because now they're in the cycle of life where they need a real house, but they don't have the credit that you did, so they can't go buy anything. All right. So now you're living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and that's good for a couple years until you have another baby and get another dog and you need, you know, to be out in a different school zone instead of downtown hanging out with your buddies. So you go get a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath with more square footage. But you keep the first two houses, right? So now you're living in the third house, and I call these people bridge people. So you've got the first two houses, and you're renting them out. So you're kind of like an accidental landlord. Like, you didn't just buy a house to stick somebody else in it. You bought a house and moved on with life and then put somebody in your old house. Does that make sense so far?
Yes, I'm following you.
Okay, so you're living in the third house, and everything's good until, you know, the kids are 10, 12, you know, before they're teenagers and they've got ball and they've got dance. But then on the other side of life, you got your parents and they're getting older and maybe they need to have more attention, or maybe you need to go across the state or across the country and spend more time with them. Or, you know, there's just a whole lot going on in your life. Plus, you're still trying to climb that corporate ladder and you've got job stuff going on and life is just super duper busy, right?
Right.
And then, oh my gosh, the tenants are late with their rent and you're stressed because you got to make that mortgage payment. And then they call and they're moving out. So now you got to either find somebody else to go in that house on top of everything else that you're trying to juggle in life, or a lot of people just start making those payments because it's only $300, $400, $500 and it's not worth the effort of going through and screening people to go into it. And what do we have to fix to get somebody in there and all this stuff. So we'll just make the payments, no big deal, and leave the house empty until we can get a better grip on things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a lease option, I would find you or you would find me and I would say, you know what, those two houses that you're just making payments on or that you don't want to be a landlord for anymore, I'll do a lease option on it. So I'll start making those payments for you. I'll buy it for whatever you owe that's left on the mortgage, and you won't have to worry about getting tenants in there. You won't have to worry about the toilets anymore. You won't have to do anything except tend to the kids, tend to the corporate ladder, and tend to your parents. I mean, just do what you really need to do, and I'll take care of these houses for you. So I'm going to be buying the house, and I'll take, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years before I buy it from you. But I'm going to be making all the mortgage payments and all the repairs in the meantime. So I am leasing the house. Technically, I'm a glorified tenant. I'm leasing the house from you, but I have the option to purchase it in 5 or 10 years. And there's probably going to be a balloon payment. I'm probably not going to pay it all off in 5 or 10 years. But when 5 or 10 years comes up, I could give you some money and we could do it again for 5 or 10 years. Or I tell you what, on the flip side of it, I'm not just going to put regular renters in your house. I'm going to put tenant buyers in your house. They're going to give me big money to move in. They're probably going to pay me a higher rent than what I could get from a regular renter because they're going to be planning on buying this house from me. So I do sandwich lease options. I buy the house on a lease option and then I give somebody who, you know, maybe they have bad credit, maybe they are new to the area and they haven't established their job history yet, or maybe they're a small business owner and they can't just go get a mortgage from the bank. So I help those kinds of people, you know, get their paperwork straight so that they can get a mortgage, or so that they can have the opportunity for, you know, the American dream of home ownership, even though something in their past says they can't do it. So I help sellers that don't have the time and effort to get rid of something or to resituate it. I take all those problems away from them right up front. And I help other people who wouldn't be able to traditionally buy a house, get into a house that they're going to love and have Christmas there and have wedding showers there and just, you know, live in. Get out of their parents' basement or out of that crappy apartment or, you know, whatever situation they're having. I help them get into a house that they're going to love and enjoy for the rest of their life.
I see. And throughout this process, you don't have to borrow any money yourself because you're paying off someone else's debt.
Right. I don't assume their mortgage. It doesn't come into my name. I don't pay any origination fees. I don't have any mortgage brokers or any bankers or anybody in an ivory tower telling me if I can do this or not. Nobody pulls my credit because I don't need them to. I'm not doing anything for credit to be involved. And most of the time, I don't put any money down because these people have been making payments for, you know, sometimes a couple months, but sometimes a couple years. And all they want is somebody to take over this payment because it's a hole in the boat. Mm-hmm. And if I can plug that hole, they're happy as can be. So it's no money, no banks, and no credit.
Well, it's a great formula that you've worked out, and you've obviously got it working for you. Can we now talk about how you share your secrets? I believe you have a online course that you teach.
Oh, yes. I teach men and I teach women. I prefer to teach women, but for some reason, men, you know, want to provide and protect for their family. They have that internal desire to be the man and make sure that everything's going to be situated when they die. So I have a lot of men that come into my program, but I have a lot of women that come in and they also want to have that independent streak. They want to have that extra money. They want residual money that they don't have to work for every month. They want to feel like they're contributing. So I teach them. I've got an online class and I teach people how to find these kind of sellers who are not behind on payments. They don't have it listed on the MLS and they aren't living in it. Nobody's living in the house. There's lots of those houses out there. And once you can find those people in your area, it just starts to snowball.
Right. What is the MLS before we go on?
It's the multiple listing service. It's where we put houses when they go up for sale on the market. I think that's where y'all do more of like an auction style.
Right. Okay. So what's your program called?
Your Real Estate Advantage.
Okay. And what else do you do? Is it all online or?
You can do the online course. I've got a group program, so we meet once a week, and I do a lesson. I make sure that everybody's, you know, looking at houses and doing the marketing and talking to the sellers and doing what they should be doing to create that money. Because you can sign up for the program, but if you don't do the work, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work for you. You have to put in some work. And it doesn't happen overnight, but I will help you as much as possible. I've also got some one-on-one. Some people need that one-on-one attention and prodding and hand-holding and accountability. So I do that also. But one of my favorite things to do, I've done one of these. I did one last November and I did one in March, and we're coming up on June. I'm going to have another one going on. I do a Whitney's Weekend Workshop, and it takes all 12 weeks of my course and compresses it down into 2 days. We also go on a house tour. We look at two or three different houses, so I can say, you know, when I walk into a house, this is what I'm looking at. These are some red flags. These are some, you know, deal breakers. This is stuff that we can work with. This is how I would come up with the repairs. And it's just, you know, online stuff is really, really fun, but nothing is ever going to replace face-to-face time. And, you know, actually, when we talk about houses, there's so many different variables that can move and, you know, change. So it's so amazing to be in a room with 20 people and be able to work through the process step by step with everybody, and then actually go out and look at the same house with everybody, talk about the same problems, talk about different ideas that different people would do to flip this house, either physically or flip it on paper. And so, I mean, just the face-to-face stuff, there's no getting around that. That's never going to go out of style.
Well, I'm sure your enthusiasm is electrifying, I think, and anyone that would come to do your course would be very inspired with your enthusiasm and your passion.
Well, good. I hope so. I hope everybody learns a lot. I've gotten a lot of bumps and bruises along my real estate road, and that's what I'm really trying to do for my students. I'm trying to take, you know, some of that pain away. I'm trying to be out in front looking ahead for roadblocks or potholes or, you know, something that might derail them and ease that for them. You know, some of these things you're just going to have to learn. You're just going to have to go through the ups and downs and on the roller coaster. But there's a lot of things that I can help guide you through that you don't have to experience. You don't have to, you know, lose a bunch of money. You don't have to waste a bunch of time. You can do this, and you can do it really quickly. I'll tell you, after my last weekend workshop, one of the guys that had been with me since January, he came to the retreat in March, and it lit a fire under him. And by the end of April, he had completed 2 deals, and he made enough money on the first deal that he was able to buy the second house with his profits from the first one and still walk away with a check. Like, he has a free and clear $30,000 house that he has none of his own money in. He can do anything he wants to with the rest of for the rest of his life with it. And he still walked away with money in his pocket. Like, the weekend workshops, they're just unreal. It's so amazing. You can spend as much time online as you want to, but actually devoting 2 days to getting into it is, I think it's life-changing. It definitely changed his life. He'd been trying to do real estate investing for over a year when I met him. And after one weekend with me, it didn't take him 4 weeks before he had money in his pocket and a free and clear house.
And can you do this in any state, or is there some states that are easier to do it than others?
Yes, I am a Southern Belle, and I think it is way easier to do it with a bunch of rednecks than it is to deal with, you know, some crazy laws they have up north. Or we mentioned Texas earlier. Texas has, it thinks it's its own little principality out there. So it's got a special case of laws just for this kind of deal. So anywhere in the Southeast, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, South Carolina, Arkansas, it's huge in Arkansas. All of those states are what I would prefer. You can do it anywhere else, but the laws are going to be different. You may have a harder time finding an attorney that wants to do this. And in California, things are just so expensive. Like, anywhere you have people and you have houses, you can get this done, because like I explained, the bridge people earlier, there's people all across the country that are living that kind of life where they've got a string of old houses that they just don't want anymore. Also, people are inheriting houses 3 or 4 states away that they don't even want to go back to that little dinky town anymore. If you're in that little dinky town, you can buy every inherited property and never run out of inventory. You know, and there's people that thought they wanted to be a landlord, and then, you know, they did it for 3, 4, 5, 8 years, and then they're like, you know what? Nope, I don't want this. So tired landlords, inherited properties, and bridge people are, I mean, those are the only people you need. And those people are in every state and every city.
Right. Okay. Well, it's been fascinating listening to you. And I'm sure there's some listeners out there that will want to get in touch with you. So how will they find you, Whitney?
I'm on Facebook. I'm pretty mouthy on Facebook too. It's facebook.com/coachwhitneynicely. Whitney like Houston, nicely like nicely done. Coach Whitney Nicely. Or you can just go to my website, whitneynicely.com.
All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been terrific to talk with you and to hear your story and just be inspired with your enthusiasm. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.